Appreciate that good singing this morning. If you enjoyed that, say amen.
Amen.
Some of y'all look like I feel, and that's not real good, amen. I want you to take your Bibles this morning, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. You might turn me down just a fuzz with these, if I can hear myself that good with my ears in the shape they're in, I've got to be loud, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. For the gentleman who tried to speak to me in the hallway during fellowship, I apologize. I thought you were just wanting to shake my hand. One of the men run in and said, he wanted to talk to you. Just see me after church, bro. I didn't mean to ignore you. That was, I sincerely apologize. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. I want to look at just a few verses of Scripture this morning. And I'm going to talk to you about a subject that I have been very familiar with these last few days. And I hope that it'll be a help to you, and I hope it'll be a blessing. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, and we're going to pick up in the middle of a subject. I hate doing that. Sometimes to understand Scripture, we need to read what was said before the statement we're focusing on and what was said after the statement that we were focusing on.
Amen.
A lot of times Scripture is twisted and pulled out of context just because we lift one phrase. You ever had anybody do that to you? Take one portion of what you said and turn it around to mean something totally different? When that was not the context of what you were saying at all. But in this modern day, when everybody thinks they can fix the Bible and everything else, and that's what happens a lot of time, they'll take two words out of a sentence and build a doctrine upon those two words. You can't do that. Amen. Understand the Bible, we must learn to compare Scripture with Scripture. Amen. But I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to look at verse number 17. The Bible said, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. It's a pretty big if right there, isn't it? My granddaddy used to say it, if a bullfrog had wings, he wouldn't bump his little hind end when he jumped. Amen? He said, if Christ be not raised. Now, boy, that arouses a question for me. I don't know about you, but if Christ be not raised from the dead, if he be not ascended again unto the Father, then what kind of shape are you and I in this morning? For my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. If Christ be not raised from the dead, then all my hope is in vain. That's what he said. And he said, you're still in your sins. All those sins that we rejoice in the fact that they have been forgiven could not really be forgiven at all. Amen. We're still just sinners on our way to hell if Christ be not risen. But thank God, we know better. Amen. Then also in verse 18, they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. In other words, those that we bury and we sing about heaven and talk about how we'll see them again, if Christ be not risen, they're certainly not. Because our only hope of our resurrection is by His resurrection. Are you with me this morning? But then look with me in verse number 19. The Bible said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most, say the next word with me, miserable. But I like what verse 20 said, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He said in verse number 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I don't know about you, but I'm glad my hope lies beyond this life. As I begin to talk to pastors around the country, and it seems the last few weeks I'm getting the same old story. A lot of times we see our four and no more. A lot of times as a pastor and church leaders, we see inside these four walls and the dilemmas that we face, and we get the idea that we're the only one going through it. Brother Fisher called me yesterday morning. I barely got out of bed yesterday, and Brother Fisher called yesterday morning. I said, hello. He said, you sound miserable. I said, thank you, and I am. I said, how y'all doing? He said, about the same. In other words, what I'm trying to say is just seem like everywhere I turn, people say that they're just going through miserable times. Brother Fisher was asking, of course, about our health, and then he turned on the economy, and he was asking about our economy, and I was telling him how bad that was, and what we were doing was literally swapping sob stories. I said, well, how's it going in sunny California? Not real sunny. He said, it's worse out here than it is there. He said, back in the 1800s, people flocked to California. You know, there's gold in them there hills. And somebody said, there's rocks in that there mine. But anyway, people flocked to California for the great gold rush. And the West Coast was the place to be. He said, now they're leaving it. Trying to find something better. If in this life only we have in hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Brother Charles said a while ago as he opened the service or in a prayer, I think as he opened the service, he said something about the mess that the world's in. And it is. Somebody asked me the other day, preacher, when is it going to get better? I can't assure you that it is. I can't stand here and offer you false hope and false promises and tell you that Obama's going to fix everything and all the bailout plans are going to work. I'll be honest with you, and watching the news and knowing what I know, I'm not that much of a political mind and I'm not that much of an economist and all those different things, but watching what I'm watching, it doesn't look very promising to me. I'm not trying to bring doom and gloom this morning. I'm just trying to preach where we're living. A lot of times preachers want to get in the pulpit and it's all banana splits and strawberry sundaes and apple pie and all this and all that sounds good and great, but what about where we really are and what about where we really live and what about what we're really dealing with when we walk back outside those doors? Amen. Reality. Seems to me like some of these politicians could get a hold of that and understand what reality is. But I looked up this word miserable. And we look at this verse in the context that only lost people can be miserable. But I found out that's not so. Even Christians who have a strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, even Christians who are dedicated their life to a service for God, we can find ourselves in miserable places. That word miserable, if we look that up in the Webster's dictionary, Webster said that word miserable means very uncomfortable. Can I get a witness? Have you ever been in a place, whether you've got the creeping crud like I've got, or you've got some kind of back trouble like Brother Ray has had, or you go through some kind of physical illness, and no matter how you lay, no matter what you take, it doesn't matter what you do, you just can't get comfortable. Come on, talk to me. I don't know about you, but I like comfortable. I like to lay down on the bed and it just feels like it wraps itself around me and feels like it fits like a glove and not a pain or a care in this world and just drift off into the sweetest sleep. Now, boy, that's comfort right there. I like it when I pull my checking account up online and there ain't no minus. Come on, talk to me. I said there ain't no minus. You ever pulled up your checking account and you looked at the number and you thought, wow, I got more money than I thought. And then you realize right in front of all that money you thought you had, there's a minus. And it's not how much you have, it's how much you are in the hole. It's how much you don't have plus. Can I get a witness? And that's uncomfortable. Like sitting down with a CPA to get your taxes done, anticipating a great tax return to find out that you owe. That's uncomfortable. He said miserable is to find ourselves in an uncomfortable situation. Every one of us have been there. He said uncomfortable or unhappy. Do y'all know what it means to be unhappy? I'm talking about even saved people. The Bible says, happy is he whose God is the Lord. And surely we ought to go throughout every day of our lives singing glory, hallelujah, somebody touch me. And we ought to go through each day of our lives singing amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Hey, but I'm here to tell you that is just not reality. In reality, we will face days of unhappiness. And days where we're just at best uncomfortable. I told y'all the story, and I'm going to tell it again because I like it, about the fella who rear-ended the guy at the red light, scared him to death. He looked in the car in front of him, and the fella's head was about that big around. And boy, he just got so scared. And he was listening to a good preaching CD, and he was in a great mood. And he thought, man, this is going to ruin my perfect day. I was so happy. And now this great big giant of a man is going to get out of his car and stomp my brains out. Sure enough, the car door opened, and this little guy jumped out. He was a dwarf, and he was about that tall. And the guy who's so scared of getting his brains beat out, he couldn't help it. He just got tickled. You know, he was sitting there scared to death. This guy's fixing to kill him, and here comes this little dwarf towards his car. And he's trying his best not to laugh, and he's biting his lip, and the little dwarf beats on his window, and the guy rolls down the window, and the little dwarf said, I'm not happy. The guy looked at him and said, well, which one are you? Amen. Some people get that joke, some people don't. We go through days of being uncomfortable. We go through periods in our life where we're just not happy. Let me, and I'm running way around the barn to get where I'm going this morning, but those of you who would sit down in my office and take a chance on ruining your lives and your children's lives because you're not happy, don't base your decisions on your happiness. As far as I know, I did not smile one time yesterday. Not once. All day long, I was not a happy camper. I'm not a good patient. I'm not a good sick person. But I've been sick for a month. I've had a few good days in between, and it just keeps coming right back and right back and right back. Yesterday, I did not feel like being your pastor. Yesterday, I did not feel like dealing with your problems. Stay with me. Would have been a foolish mistake in a state of uncomfortableness or a state of unhappiness to say, I resign. Because I'm not happy. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying dig in real deep, get you a good strong foothold, and hang on. I said hang on till happy comes back around. If you were once happy with the man you're living with, you can be happy with that same man again. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. And if you can't say amen, get on the altar and get right this morning. I ain't been happy with her every day of our 25 years of marriage. may come as a shock to you. There's days when I wanted to punch her. And there's days when she did punch me. What do you do, preacher? We hang on. We hang on till happy rolls back around. And I don't know if you've noticed in your life, maybe you got to get 44 like I am to realize that life kind of goes in a cycle. Amen. If you were up here and now you feel like you're speeding down, crashing toward the valley, it's that momentum going down that hill that's going to take you up the next one. Amen. So just hang on till you get back on top again. Listen, you may be in the of life right now. But why don't you just go ahead and anticipate? Why don't you just go ahead and anticipate the most mundane part of the scream machine at Six Flags is that first hill. And it's the biggest one. But soon as that first car makes that crest over the top and it starts downhill, it just pulls the rest of us right along with it. The only power that ride needs is to pull you up that first hill. And it carries you the rest of the way. Amen? Hang on. If you ever got to the place where you found yourself miserable, uncomfortable, very unhappy. Webster said, it even causes or is accompanied by great discomfort or distress. Great discomfort or distress. Now listen, I'm talking to people this morning who are saved. This world is in a mess, but I've got good news for you. This world is not our home. Our government system, our political system, it's in a mess. It's on a downhill slide. But the system of this world is not my system. And if you're a child of God, it's not your system. We're just strangers and pilgrims passing through. And one of these days, after a while, we'll be where the system is perfect. Amen. Amen. Discomfort or distress, reality, we all must deal with it. And I want to talk to you for a few minutes, and I spent too much time introducing this message this morning, but I want to talk to you about some miserable people I've met. Some miserable people I have met. Most of them are in this room. That's not a joke. That's true. Just take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter number 5. You're in 1 Corinthians. Just keep going to the right. And you'll run into Galatians. Galatians chapter number 5. A few scriptures this morning. This flu or whatever it is I've got won't allow me to be myself. So we're just going to look at some Bible verses this morning. That'd be all right. Galatians chapter number 5. I want to show you some miserable people. And you may find yourself in the same place. In Galatians chapter 5, I want you to look at verse number 17. Are y'all there? Say amen. Amen. The Bible said, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another. Now hang on right there, look at me. Do you understand what that Bible's saying? He said the spirit, it's contrary to the flesh. Or the flesh, the lust is after the spirit, and the spirit after the flesh. In other words, he's saying that if you are a child of God, there is an old creature and there is a new creature. And I know these judgmentalist people want to look at you when you got sin in your life and say, oh, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Yes, he is, down on the inside. Sure he is, down on the inside. There is a brand new creature inside this flesh of Eddie White. But on the outside, amen, I'm still stuck with this body of flesh. Yes, that flesh that still desires sin. Yes, amen. That flesh that still has doubts. Yes, that flesh that still has uncertainty in my life. Yes, Are you with me? Do you know this is how so many of those charlatans on television con people out of their own salvation? When it only takes about a fourth grade reading level to understand what is going on, you can look at the scripture we've read in Galatians chapter number 5. You can go to Romans chapter number 7. And nearly the entire chapter, Paul deals with the issue of the flesh and the spirit and the flesh and the battle that is going on between them. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. How many of you feel saved 100% of the time? None of us. Thank God I don't base what I have on what I feel. When I was in my bathroom yesterday, you would have thought I was selling Buicks or hunting somebody named Ralph. I wasn't shouting glory, hallelujah. I wasn't singing glory, I'm saved. I didn't feel saved. I felt sick. But thank God deep down on the inside I know. Amen. Amen. He said the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other. Kind of like oil and water. They just don't mix. So that you cannot do the things that you would. Let me tell you the man who is miserable in this room this morning. Or the woman. The one whose life is dominated by self. The one whose life is dominated or ruled by self, or what is self? The flesh. We're living in a me, myself, and I society. We're living in a society where we depend on somebody to take care of everything for us. It's like the lady on the television during the election said Obama was going to pay her gas bill. And people laughed at her and made fun of her, but here's the sad part of it. She believed it. Did you know it's not Obama's job to pay your gas bill? That was never what government was set up for to begin with. Amen. We're living in a society that caters to self. What about me? What about my rights? This is not fair. I don't deserve this. But you think about those statements real hard before you make them. This is not fair. Here you sit, saved, breathing God's air. If you're a child of God on your way to God's heaven, what's not fair? If you get to suck in and blow out one more time, you've got more than you deserve. Do you know why so many people have their feelings hurt about something? They're living a life dominated by self. It's about me, 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 me. 90% of the marriages that I counsel in my office that end up in divorce. Somebody's worried about me. Well, it got quiet right there. You say, well, I'm pretty important to me. I know you are. Well, I just believe I ought to take care of number one. What scripture did you find that in? What portion of the Bible taught you that kind of doctrine? Not one time in the Word of God did He ever tell us to look out for us first. He said, seek you first the kingdom of God. Yeah. Amen. 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 I'm just being plain with you this morning. But we get ourselves in a mess when we become dominated by our flesh. And here's the reason why. It can never be satisfied. There is never enough. Do you know who wants money and desires money more than anybody on the face of the planet? Those who have it. Those who have it. Somebody said, oh, preacher, I wish God would send us a bunch of rich people. Why? They don't give nothing. That's right. Why you think they got a bunch of money? Poor folk give you the last dime they got. Amen. But that man dominated by flesh, you see, if he gives that away, he's giving away his happiness and his joy, because that's what it's based on. That's what it's founded on. That's where it's built. And if you take that away, he loses that. The only thing that can make him happier is to get more of it. I was reading a story a while back about the Great Depression, and we ain't seen nothing yet. I had the dates in my head, but my head ain't real clear, so I won't even attempt. But the day that the news came out when Wall Street crashed, they talked about the number of suicides of wealthy men, the number of mansions that people just walked away from and left abandoned, the number of automobiles that were just sitting in the streets because the millionaires who owned them did not have money to put gas in the tank, and they took pistols and they took ropes and hung themselves and pistols and blew their brains out. Why? Because all their hope was built on the things that they had accumulated in their life. And with one set of headlines in the news, it was gone. The man who is miserable is the man whose life is dominated by self. The desires of the flesh. It just keeps on eating and eating and eating and eating and eating and eating and eating. It is never satisfied. Do you know why we are such creatures of habits? Do you know why every RU, Reformers Unanimous program in America, based in local independent Baptist churches, do you know why they're jam-packed on Friday night? Because we have Christians all across this nation who are addicted to this and addicted to that and addicted to this. And I know exactly what I'm talking about this morning. What we're trying to look for is something to make this flesh feel a little better just for a little while. But as soon as it wears off, you got to do it again and again and again. Again and again. Amen. You know what it means to be miserable? The man dominated by self is a very miserable person. Maybe some of you fellas on the way home in the car, you ought to just lean over and tell your wife, "I'm sorry, but I've made our marriage all about me. From here on out, baby, it's going to be all about you." I've said it for years. You want to have a wonderful marriage? Sir, you make that marriage and that home all about her. Ma'am, you make that marriage and that home all about him. Don't worry about him meeting your needs. You meet his needs. You start meeting his needs, he'll meet yours. Boy, y'all don't dry up on me this morning. Dry up on, well, bless God, I'm going to snap my fingers and tell my wife. Yeah, you go right ahead, dummy. Go right ahead, you blooming idiot. Can you say alimony? Can you spell lawyer? You better get, if that's your attitude, you better get familiar with some of this terminology, like lawyer, like alimony, like child support. Do you want your children to have another mommy every other weekend? You better get a grip. Quit living your life all about self. The person dominated by self is a miserable person. Been there. Lived there. I know what I'm talking about. 1 Timothy, go to your right. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. I may finish this tonight. I'm going to have to quit here in just a minute. There's about 4 inches of snow on the ground out there right now. You were already thinking about leaving. I just thought of... I'm kidding. I hadn't looked. I don't know what's out there. 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 14. Talking about way back in the creation. He said Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. I tell you, the man who is miserable or the lady who is miserable is that one who is dominated by self or the flesh. But secondly, let me say that those who are deceived by Satan are miserable people. Did you know that he is, the Bible said he was more cunning than any beast of the field. Was cunning the word? Subtle. More subtle. What's that mean? Slicker than snot on a doorknob. That's what subtle means. I mean, you got to look that up in the redneck version, but that's what subtle means. The devil is slick. He's sharp. He knows how to sell you a phony. He knows how to deceive you. Amen. And he's been doing it forever and ever and ever. Those who are deceived as to the way of salvation. You talk to some people, there are many ways to get to heaven. But you read this Bible, John chapter 14, there's only one. I think it's verse number 6. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. How simple is that? How simple is that? But yet these poor, hey listen, some of the most dedicated people in America are deceived.
That's right.
Dedicated. I'm talking about the man who will give 2 to 3 years out of his life, quit his job, buy a bunch of white shirts and black pants and black ties, trade in his Silverado pickup for a Huffy bicycle, and I'm not making fun, I'm being honest, and pedal that bicycle for 2 years out of his life. For the Mormon church. Thinking that maybe that might grant him entrance. Jesus did not say, Huffy is the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm not trying to be humorous, but it's almost ridiculous if you could believe that. I'll go back to the old bumper sticker that used to be around years and years ago. If you and I could earn it, why did Jesus have to die? If I could ride a bicycle to heaven, why Calvary? Why the blood? Why the sacrifice? Why the torment? Why the shame? I can earn it, and you can earn it. There ain't enough Watchtower magazines on the face of this planet to keep you out of hell. Some of you are deceived about the way of your salvation. You say, well, I don't believe what the Jehovah's Witness believe in. I don't believe what the Mormons believe. Well, what about what some of the dead Baptists believe? I don't know how many times we've shook a hand and said, sir, if you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? Well, I'm a member at such and such church. I was born a Baptist. I'll die a Baptist. Yet, and you'll bust hell wide open. Somebody said, well, I got baptized. Well, you go to hell wet. Just because your name's on this church roll does not make you a child of God. You know, you can act like a Christian. You can talk like a Christian. You can tote a King James Bible like a Christian. You can sing in the choir like a Christian. You can knock on doors like a Christian and burn in hell forever and ever like the sinner that you are. If we allow Satan to deceive us. I'm going to quit in a minute. I know some of y'all are getting worried about the time. But I remember as a little boy sitting on the right-hand side nearly in the back of White Oak Springs Baptist Church. My best friend, Roger Bush, was sitting beside me. We sat there, Brother Jay, and played hangman the whole service. Some of y'all don't know what hangman is. That's what we did. We played hangman the whole service, a little game you play. We played that little old game. It got time for the altar call. And my buddy elbowed me. He said, you going to the altar? I said, no. He said, I dare you. I said, I ain't going down there. You go. He said, I double dog dare you. You got to go. I mean, that's just a man thing. You got to do it. You got to go. So I came down to the altar. Sister Vanessa's out in the children's church this morning, Sister Vanessa English, her daddy, Larry Day, got down on one side of me with a Bible in his hand. On the other side of me was the chairman of the board of deacons, Brother Kenneth Corin. And these men were earnest in what they did. There was no fault of these men. But they knelt on each side of me. My mama knelt behind me. They took a Bible, Brother Micah, and they said, Eddie, do you know you're a sinner?
Yeah.
They asked me all these questions, and they told me a little prayer to pray, and I prayed it, Micah. They baptized me the next Sunday night and gave me a New Testament. I still have it. Got my name in front of it. For years, if a preacher preached on hell or the rapture, I'd cry myself to sleep. If it thundered, I thought it was the rapture. Everything that happened, I thought it was the end of the world. Something deep down in my... I was miserable. Something deep down on the inside of me, even though on the surface, yes, I'm a member of the church. Yes, I've been baptized. Yes, I prayed a sinner's prayer. But down on the inside, brother, there was something miserable. There was something uneasy. Every time the invitation was given, every time hell was mentioned, it disturbed me and it bothered me. Why? Because the devil had sold me a phony. I had no earthly idea. You say, well, can a six-year-old really get saved? Of course they can. But I didn't. I didn't come and bow in that altar because I was sorry about my sin. I didn't come in that altar and repent of my sins because I was scared to death I was dying and going to hell. I hadn't realized I was a sinner. As far as I knew, I was a good little boy. Deceived by Satan. I think about Sister Stacy Williams, who sat in our services, and I watched her week after week after week during the invitation. She would squirm, uneasy, just like some of you do. Somebody said, well, the devil's making me doubt my salvation. It may not be the devil. And I'm not one of these people who tries to go around and get everybody lost and recap you. But if the devil sold you a phony, you ought to get that thing settled this morning. Amen. You can't get saved but one time, but you better make sure you got it one time. You better make sure your salvation. I'm talking about examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Go back to the time. Go back to the night. Go back to the day where you asked Christ to forgive you of your sin. Don't convince me you're saved. Convince yourself. A man who is miserable is a man who is dominated by self or the flesh. The man who has been deceived by Satan as to the way of salvation or even the wages of sin. Wages of sin is death, the Bible said. And after this, judgment. Or it's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Amen. Deceived, deceived, deceived. Are you miserable this morning? The man who is most miserable. Brother Todd, y'all come and get us a song. I got 6 points. I'm going to give you 3 and we're going home. The man who is most miserable this morning is the man whose life is dominated by the flesh. Hey, listen, I'll have to plead guilty right there and say at times that's just how I live. There's times in my life when Jesus is not on the throne in my heart. It's me. He's not running the show and calling the shots. I am. And I get myself in mess after mess after mess after mess. And where I find myself is miserable. But not submitting or yielding my life or my will to His. The man who is miserable this morning is that one who is deceived by Satan. Listen to me. Do you know for sure you're saved? How do you know? Do you know you're saved just because you've said it so many times? Do you know if you died and went to heaven today? Or if you died, you'd go to heaven today? How do you know? Is it just because you have a baptismal certificate? Come on, talk to me. Or is it because you know you trusted Christ as your Savior? A man deceived by Satan. Then lastly, there is a man who is defeated by sin, who lives a life defeated by sin. You ever met somebody who had a serious problem? And they look you dead in the eye, Brother Charles, and say, I don't want to be this way. Never been a drug addict. Hooked on methamphetamines or anything else, who made up their mind the first time they did it. I want to be a dope head. I want to destroy my life and ruin my family. That's what my plans are. No, sir. Nobody starts out that way. Starts out as recreation and fun. When it starts out, you've got a handle on it. Before it's over, it has a handle on you. But you know, there's only one that can break the bondage of sin. It's not your willpower. It's not the group you attach yourself to. It's Jesus Christ. He's the only one who ever had a head-on collision with sin and got up to brag about it. The only one. Do you ever find yourself miserable because of the hold that sin has on your life? It'll make you miserable. That's why Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Free from what? That sin that's making you miserable. That devil that's got you deceived. That self, that flesh that's got you dominated. Let's stand our feet together this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please. We'll be out of here in just a few moments. I wonder if there's one here today. Say, "Preacher, I know that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. No doubt about it, if I died right now, heaven would be my home. But here lately, self and my flesh has dominated and running my life. But I realize what it's doing is trying to ruin my life. Preacher, pray for me." Hands all over this building. God bless your heart. "Preacher, I'm the one who's been deceived by Satan. I sit in service after service and think I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. But preacher, I realize this morning I'm not okay. I'm not sure if I died just like I am, heaven would be my home. Please pray for me. Pray that I would get that settled." Anybody like that? You just stick your hand up. I won't come to you. You're embarrassing. God bless you, sir. "I need to get this thing settled about my soul." God bless you, son. I see your hand. "Preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. If you can really know heaven's your home, please pray that I'd get this settled in my heart." Anybody else? Anybody else? God bless you, ma'am. God bless your heart. You raised your hand this morning. I'm gonna have some people just about your age waiting on you at the altar who would love to take a Bible and pray with you and show you how you can know when you leave here today, heaven would be your home. Don't leave here deceived by Satan about your salvation. But then thirdly, we said there was the man who was miserable because his life is dominated by sin or defeated by sin. You say, "Preacher, there's something got a hold of me, and I just can't seem to shake it loose. Pray the Lord would help me with what I'm battling." Anybody? God bless your hearts. A few honest folks this morning. God bless you. The Lord can do it. He can help you. You know where it starts? It starts right here on the altar. You won't get help from Him till you ask for it. Oh, let's be mindful and obedient to the Lord this morning. Let's pray together. Father, as we bow before you in Jesus' name, Lord God, we thank you for a good day. Lord, we thank you for mercy and for grace. Thank you for loving us, Lord. And Father, I pray, God, that this was the right message. I felt in my heart that it was. Lord, you've seen the hands, God, and you know every heart. Please deal with us accordingly in this invitation this morning. Lord, that one that's struggling, God, doubting their salvation, help them to come and get that forever settled this morning. Lord, that one that's living a life defeated by sin, give them some victory this morning. Lord, that one that's life is dominated by the flesh. Lord, I pray, Father, Lord, that they'd just find a place in their heart this morning to submit, surrender their life to you. Lord, please have your way in this altar call, and we'll thank you, God. We'll give you glory and honor and praise for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.